members here at St. John have had a long time relationship with York College, and certainly this congregation has had a long term relationship with York College, and they've expressed recently they'd like just to reconnect that relationship. And so this morning we're doing that in a new sense. Dr. Steve Ekman is with us and his wife Larie. They're here to share God's message this morning. Look forward to doing that. Steve has a long-term relationship with York College, was a student there. That's kind of unique to come back and be president of a university where you actually were a student. And he currently does serve as the 20th president of York College. He has experience and has worked for a number of the Christian universities, both in West Virginia and Texas, LCU. He has numerous experience with Christian colleges, and we're fortunate to have him with us this morning. Just in my short conversation, first time I've ever met Steve this morning, it was interesting how quickly and how influential our Christian relationships are, because we talked about the Wootons, we talked about the Murphys, we talked about Brensings, and just different people we all know, there is certainly a lot to be said about our connections in Christ and the power and the influence. And I look forward to hearing Steve's message, and I invite you to give him your attention as we look to God's Word this morning.
It's so good to be with you this morning. As Tom mentioned, we have a long history with this part of the world. Larie and I, when we were in college back in 1900, none of your business, we spent a lot of time down here because we had a lot of friends from this part of Kansas, from Kingman, from Mulvane, from Great Bend, students we went to school with. So this has always been kind of an area that York has been familiar with, and we've been familiar with. I always like when I come to a new congregation to kind of get a feel for things, and I always look for where the clock is. And I noticed, sometimes it's in the back so the preacher can see it, and sometimes it's behind the preacher so the congregation can see it, but you're kind of equal opportunity clock watchers at this church, I noticed. When I was preaching for a couple years in New Mexico, I know one time our clock was at the back and it broke. And so I'd take my watch off and I'd lay it on the podium. And Jody Taylor, he's passed on, one of my good friends. But you could always tell, I knew when my sermon was over by Jody's body language more than by the clock. Because if Jody was done, he's just liable to just get up and walk out of the auditorium, and you knew the church was over. But when the clock was out one time, I laid my watch down, and his grandson had come to visit me. He said, "Grandpa, what does it mean when the preacher lays his watch on the podium like that?" And Jody said, "Absolutely nothing." So I hope because the clock's up here that I'll keep us on schedule. I want to start out, one of the reasons I like to speak in a new congregation is I get to use my favorite preacher joke, and actually it does have a point, but I like to start out this way. And the story's about a young preacher in West Texas back in the 1800s. And if you know anything about that era before our Christian colleges were started, before you had any training, you basically did an apprenticeship. That's how you learned to become a preacher. So you'd pick this preacher that you liked and that you thought had a good message, and you'd follow him around. You'd go with him and listen to his lessons. You'd go with him on his home Bible studies. You'd kind of emulate the things that he did. You'd learn from his lessons. You'd learn about the Bible from him. And so he was kind of the one who brought you up in the Lord. He discipled you. And so the story is about this young would-be preacher, and he's following this older preacher around. And they're in West Texas. It's the middle of summer. Of course, there's no air conditioning, anything like that. It's if you've been to West Texas in the summer, it's about 110 degrees. The windows are all open in that little church, but there's not a breath of air, and it's very, very hot. And everybody is starting to fade off. And it's like the usual church setting. You probably have it here. The guys go first, and then the women kind of follow along behind, start nodding off. The women try to keep the men awake as long as they can, but then they finally succumb to. And this whole preacher's up there preaching. He looks out over that audience, and he realizes he's about lost them all. And so he stops in the middle of his sermon and has a fairly long pause, and the women start waking up, and you hear people coughing and clearing their throats, and the women start nudging the men. And when he kind of has everybody's attention, he makes this statement. He says, "You know, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife." Well, everybody's now on the front of the pew. They're all awake, and they're all eager to hear what he says next. And when he's got everybody just in the right point, he says to them, "Yes, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of my mother, my father's wife." And he goes on with his lesson. Well, this young preacher, he's just jotting this down. He's taking notes because he loves this. And when he starts preaching, he can hardly wait for the opportunity that he's going to have to use the same technique as he preaches. So he's at a similar situation later in life. You know, he's in a small church, not a breath of air in the building. The windows are open, but it's still hot. Everybody's about gone. And he's actually smiling inwardly because he says, now's my big chance. And so everybody's kind of asleep, and he looks at the congregation, and he stops, and everybody starts rousing again and looking at him, and then he makes the statement, you know, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And of course, everybody sits up, they're on the edge of the pew, but the problem is sometimes when you're new to something and you're a new speaker, you kind of lose your train of thought. You ever done that public speaking, trying to kind of forgot where you were? And he can't remember what the next line's supposed to be. And he's looking out over that audience, and everybody's sweating anyway, and he's sweating, and now there are tears coming down his eye, and it's getting very awkward because the silence just goes longer and longer, and finally, just in tears, he says, and for the life of me, I don't remember who she was. Well, we've all been in situations where either we or someone has said something that just wasn't right. Right? Have you ever said something, the minute you say it, think, man, I wish I hadn't said that? Have you ever, even worse, got yourself in a position where you've said something and then tried to defend